I'm Eddie Fury, your co-host, along with Dave Frederick, news/sports director/assistant program director, donut man/interviewer/sports play-by-play. You hold all the same hats I do.
That's what you do in a smaller business. You know, you do what you got to do to get it done, and including the show today. We were scrambling around here getting things ready to go.
Yeah.
And we'll just fly by our seat and get her done.
Slash producers, slash executive producer, slash all-around good guy. Oh, horse lover, too, by the way.
Most days I'm a good guy. Some days.
Yeah.
Catch me on a bad day. Look out. Like anybody else.
Bad day. I think you're in a good mood on a bad day. So.
Yeah.
I say on a bad day, we just go right down to the corner here.
Yep,
or across the street. Or down at Benchwarmers, by the way. So
you take our donuts and go down to Benchwarmers and...
Donuts and beer. Now, there is a business. But they probably have stuff like that out in what? In the Oktoberfest land or something like that.
Down south, like south of the Mason-Dixon.
True that. You would know that, right? Down in the Keys. So, hey, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Not bad. Like you, short night, long night, or short overnight, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm sure I passed myself somewhere on the road coming up here this morning. Deeper we get into the season, we're in the week 8 now, it's getting tougher.
One more week in the regular season, and some big titles were clinched in our thumb and Blue Water coverage area. And we'll have those scores coming up with Dave Frederick in just a bit. We have interviews set up with two 8-player coaches. I've got Bill Brown again because of a very important game that I covered on Thumb Tugger Sports. We had, it was a great game. Came down to the wire. Kingston Cardinals got the ball back, and then we'll talk more about that. But Decker will win in that one, and the NCTL Blue Division League title got a share of it. And now they can win it outright. But then, week 9, they have to play the Pack Pirates, and you got an interview with Rob McDaniel.
Yeah, I talked to Rob this morning that we'll have later on, too. And that's always one of those fun rivalry games. The kids are pretty familiar with each other, and Peck and Deckerville have quite a history, and I'm sure the Browns will have their kids ready, Bill and Dan, to have their team ready to take care of business. They're playing for home field advantage as far as they can keep on winning in the playoffs. So that'll be a big game in the NCTL. And you had a dandy in Kingston there. We were watching that. We were doing the Sandusky Harbor Beach game and keeping an eye on your score.
Yeah, and of course you had a Greater Thumb championship game. It was the Greater Thumb East. And league titles on the line for that one. And, man, I tell you what, Harbor Beach at Sandusky, of course, it was a great celebration of Military Appreciation Night. That was something that both teams could to attest to. But what a battle in Sandusky. And Sandusky was right there. But then, as I've seen in Harbor Beach in a couple of games, making the adjustments in the second half and able to come back and readjust.
Yeah, I was really, you know, I told Adam Philkins, my broadcast partner last night, that the tale of two games really for Sandusky, they, I thought, controlled the first half. And, you know, Harbor Beach had to score late, like under a minute. They went 58 yards in 54 seconds. and so they scored it, tied up 14-14. But second half, Harbor Beach's offense, you know, Coach Shelke talked about being concerned about being able to run the ball against a Sandusky defense, but Dylan Kadar, outstanding job of throwing the ball. They were throwing the ball all night long, and that passing game really won it for him.
And what I'll get in, we'll get in further depth about that game also. And another game at the Thumb Tugger crew covered, another important one we thought for Croswell Lexington needing to win themselves to assure themselves a playoff spot. Going to be very tough now. They had the lead. But North Branch at Croslex, I think it was homecoming night also.
Yeah, yep.
North Branch able to make their adjustments in the second half, and Coach Jeremy Furman found a way to take down and stop the Pioneer Wagon. So
yeah, the Pioneers had, you know, they had three games left a couple of weeks ago in there, and we talked to Coach Grubman and said they had to win out to make it, and now I don't think a 5-4 in that division is going to get it done.
Yeah, it's very tough in the BWAC, so competitive in that division. One of the best divisions playoff-wise also.
Yeah.
And we can look ahead in playoffs because we're in the media. So week 9, though.
Playoffs.
Yeah. A lot of league titles also decided. Congratulations to the Cass City Redhawks. They are the Greater Thumb West champions back-to-back. And first in school history, the second league title in football, that is. In league history, so congratulations to the Cass City Redhawks. Kind of a team, at least in our area, we're kind of, you talk quietly about them, but they get a little bit overlooked, you know, because of the geographic and media coverage-wise, but we do have to mention them. next week we're hoping to have Scott Cuthrell. He's going to have a tough game to end week 9 against Ubley. And Harbor Beach, you just talked about, they have Lakers, so maybe Lakers a little bit of resurgence. You know, they're a young team. They're getting some wins and had a big one last night also. And but Cass City, congrats to them. League title back-to-back. Very hard to do, and they have been times where they were so close, but then losing, you know, that one game. Now, back-to-back seasons, you know.
At the start of the year, if you recall, on our first Sportsline show, when Phil Nickel, who I assume is sleeping or something, maybe, or...
Probably. It's okay. Good. Maybe he was celebrating a little bit too much last night.
But we talked about Cass City being a team to watch, and they picked up an early loss. And aside from that, they've had a great year. And that's a team that we can really keep an eye on getting into the postseason. And like anybody else, they'll take their chances and see what they can do.
And I can confirm now we have Troy Schelke, your Greater Thumb East League champion, will be calling in to the show live once again. He is an athletic director, so you know he's up in the morning. Yeah. And he also has some two sons playing at SVSU that he'll probably be heading to.
Keeps him on the road and a busy guy. And real quick before we take our first break, we'll talk more about that military appreciation night that you talked about in Sandusky. Really cool at the start. You know, they did their celebration of the military guys after the national anthem, both teams at midfield with the military guys all shaking hands. That was really cool. I thought really classy on Harbor Beach's side for coaches Schelke and Rubel to have their kids out there and thanking those veterans. A really neat time before the game started, and just showed me it's more about, you know, it's not just football. Yeah. It's paying your respects to the guys that give us our freedoms, you know. So that was a really cool time, and
great turnout for that, apparently.
Yeah, it was a great turnout. You know, I believe it was younger boys had a large flag out. Some of Sandusky's football teams, the junior high football team kids, had a huge flag out on the field, and cheerleaders of all ages there last night, and great crowd, and it's always something to look forward to. They do it up well there, and just a great atmosphere even before the game.
Also, I had some congratulations go out to the other NCTL 8 player leagues. First of all, Deckerville gets a share of the NCTL Blue Division league title. In the NCTL, New Haven Merritts, they get a share of the NCTL White Division title because there are still league games to be played in week 9 the NCTL 8 player football. Let me see. Other congratulations goes out to Morris, who are the outright NCTL Red Division League champions after Mount Pleasant decided to forfeit. Morris still wanted to play a game, and look who they're going to take on. They filled in a game at Crystal Falls Forest Park. That is being played this afternoon at 2 p.m., played at Pickford. Pickford won big last night.
You should have had the Willie Nelson song on the road again queued up, man. That'd have been.
Hey, these are Morris
is hitting the road. That's going to be a good game for him because it's going to get them really ready for the playoffs. And of course, Morris, the defending state champion, and we said all along that, you know, from the words of our famous Phil Nickel, that somebody from the NCTL, we believe, is going to be in Marquette in a few weeks.
And they are in the NCTL. That's the Red Division. league title champions, and they are the defending and eight-player champions in Division One also. So shout out to Morris Orioles, who are 7-0. Well, they got to play again tonight. I don't know if they get that forfeit win or not. Jeff Kozel sent that message to me because, of course, he knows I stay up to the wee hours looking for these scores at night, and he sent me all the NCTL scores, so I didn't have to, you know, work extra hard. So big shout out to him. I think he would have been a better official than the NFL officials in that Lions Monday Night Football game, by the way. Jeff Cole's also an MHSAA official, along with his daughter. I think they both would have been better officials at the Lions game. Hands to the face. Not
Sandusky could have used some help officiating last night.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. You know, I'll give him that touchdown, right? But still, Harbor Beach has a two-touchdown lead, right?
Yeah, but even that, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
No hands to the face, though.
All right, and we'll be talking to the Greater Thumb East League champion, head coach Troy Schelke, after the 9:30 a.m. hour. Okay, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to run down our scores also. Dave Frederick, I'm Eddie Fear here on Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. We'll be right back.
Oh, truck month.
Yep, and the savings are the best they've been all year.
Save up to $16,000 on demos in stock.
Truck month.
Lease a crew cab Silverado Trail Boss for only $225 a month.
Truck month. Wait a second, $225 a month?
That's right, Sam, a custom crew Trail Boss for only $225 a month.
Truck month.
How about $14,000 off on a 19 Silverado LD double cab?
Truck month. What about the loaded up Suburban demo?
How does $10,000 off MSRP plus 0% financing for 72 months sound, Sam? man.
Truck month!
Not looking for a truck, but still need an all-wheel drive vehicle? You can lease a Buick Encore for only $199 a month.
We currently have a great selection of new trucks on the lot, so don't delay. Stop in at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Truck month! All prices include GMEPP plus lease loyalty.
The staff of Knox Disposal in Brown City is proud to sponsor local sports programs. Knox Disposal is a full-service waste disposal company specializing in curbside residential pickup, commercial dumpsters, and residential dumpster services. Knox Disposal has been in business since 1963, providing affordable service to their customers. Knox Disposal also offers their customers one free large item pickup per year, such as a couch or non-Freon appliance. They service a wide region from south of Yale to north of Palms and Lakeshore west through Kingston. Knox Disposal is a family business serving the area for three generations and offers curbside, drop-off, and dumpsters. Check out their service area, pricing, and all other information online at knoxdisposal.com and sign up for online statements and bill pay. Call 810-346-3177 today.
Nature isn't the only force that can leave its mark, especially when you have a tractor built to help make your property your own. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done the way it should be done. Dig, mow, haul, and comfortably maneuver in tight spaces. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. The BX series, America's best-selling subcompact tractor. Kubota, shape your world.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
Liberty Lanes in Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday and Saturday evening salad bar and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky, thanking you for 40 great years.
Just when I thought I was getting tired, when I hear NFL music, I'm getting pumped up again.
Yeah, you talk about NFL, and I didn't stay up to watch that Lions game. I took a quick peek in the first quarter. They were rocking and rolling. I'm like, I'm going to bed. I'm not going to jinx them.
Yeah.
And then I got up early in the next morning, Tuesday morning, and my Facebook was blowing up and the internet was blowing up with all the controversy. And that just gets my blood pressure up. You know, the Lions find a way to get the shaft, if you will, and that was a really a good example of that. The more replays I saw, the more upset I got, and too bad for them. You know, they're not that far away from being 5-0.
They're not only by a couple points,
yeah,
or a touchdown, and
shoulda, woulda, coulda for 55 years.
And you know, I like Coach Patricia, very well experienced coach, says. He was. Can I say that? No, I can't say that word. He was very urined.
Yeah.
But focus, moving on, because they got a big game this week into the Vikings. So, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he did a really good job of not saying what he probably would have liked to.
Yes.
He kept his, you know, he quickly turned the focus to the Vikings, sort of turnaround for him. And, you know, boy, they're just a funny team. I think they're a pretty good team, better than what they've been. But just not getting the breaks. You know, some conspiratorist people are thinking that Patricia is getting the rat to the referees from his days somewhere else, you know, but hard to say.
And listen to Lions football on WTGV, our big brother station, 97.7 FM, high noon against the Minnesota Vikings tomorrow. With our high school football scores, here's Dave Frederick with the roundup of high school football in our area.
Yeah, in a BWAC, Armada went down to Algonac and beat the Muskrats 33-6. The Elmont Raiders continued their outstanding season undefeated. They whipped my Bulldogs 49-0. Yale really struggled this year.
And we forgot to mention, at the top of the program, they are the outright Blue Water Area Conference League champions once again.
And they're rocking and rolling, looking to be really good and make a nice run in the playoffs. Also, Eddie, you mentioned that North Branch game. North Branch Broncos win over Croslex 33-13. Richmond Ilmi City put up a medal. Richmond 35, Ilmi City / Dryden 20.
That was at Dryden. They played that at Dryden High School.
Dryden High School. Might have been their homecoming.
Maybe Dryden's, because Dryden will have a homecoming, and Ilmi City has their own homecoming. Yeah. That will put the Spartans with that loss. They will put at 4-4. Can they sneak in? They play K-Pac at the end of the season.
And what Adam called them, the Spartanals, I think he's...
Yes.
Crosby's. Ilmi City, Dryden, combined team has worked out well, I think, for both teams. Yeah. And they certainly have had some interesting games.
Well, if they win, they'll have a winning record. Right now, they're at 500. So, you know, it's the resurgence at least is there.
I'm going to say, at least they're making progress anyway.
Yes.
Greater Thumb East, Brown City Green Devils had tried to get Coach Cooper, and he was screening his calls this morning. Just kidding, Coach. Brown City 34, K-Pac 17. We mentioned Harbor Beach. Kudos to the Pirates and Coach Schalke. They win over Sandusky 41-20. Umley rolls over Marlette 56-8. Laker crushes Memphis 52-0. Bad Axe and Carroll. Hatchets win 41-27. And the Cass City Redhawks crush Reese 46-0. USA Oliver Basser, 60 points, 60-0. The Patriots win. They keep their season going. And then some scores from around the area. Millington keeps on chugging along. We've been kind of picking on them in your Paul Schmoles thing.
Yeah, but we were correct.
Yep. Millington 45, Valley Lutheran 6. Frankenmuth stays undefeated. They win the Tri-Valley 46-0 over Birch Run. And then a couple of their scores in down to Port Huron area, Port Huron Northern. They win their conference there 42-6 over Roosevelt. Port Huron lost to Lakeview 35-21. And in a dandy of a game, the Max Silver, I believe, Marine City clinches that. They roll past Marysville 34-3. St. Clair 59, South Lake 0. So
yeah,
that's 11-man games, and there's some pretty good football by Port Huron.
They are undefeated, in that MAC Silver. They kind of move those things around, don't they? Sometimes.
Yeah, they change divisions, I think, every year. It seems like, I don't know, that's based on enrollment or how they do that. But in the 8-man, Peck Pirates back on the winning side after losing that game to Kingston 2 weeks ago that we did. Actually, we could go today.
Yeah.
Peck Pirates, Oliver Burton, Atherton, 60-16. I talked to Coach McDaniels. We'll have that later on. The game that Eddie and Jonathan did, 42-34, a thriller, Deckerville over Kingston to give the Eagles at least a share of the title. Mayville over North Huron. We thought that might be a closer game, but Mayville rolls past North Huron 40-14. Genesee crushes Flint International 30-6. It was Ashley 64, Burton Madison 12. In kind of a good ballgame, but one I was kind of glad both teams could get in. Owen Gage beats Caseville 58-30, and those two teams have really struggled health-wise.
I heard the Georgia Bulldog showed up, although I think it's the Owen Gage Bulldog.
I think I saw a picture of that somewhere, that somebody had a chance to meet him.
Yeah.
New Haven Merritt Academy, they take care of business and win their title in the white, 56-0 over Akron Fairgrove. Bay City All Saints 26, Carsonville Port Sanac 0. In that game you mentioned today, Eddie Morris is going to hit the road going to Pickford to take on a very good Crystal Falls Forest Park team.
Yeah.
If I had an airplane, that'd be a game to jump on and go watch.
That'd be a fantastic eight-player game just like we had last night.
Maybe we could take the company helicopter and just buzz up there.
We could, maybe. Yeah. All right, coming up in the 9:30 a.m. hour after another check-in with our break here and weather forecast, we will have head coach Troy Schalke. But before we do that, we're looking at these standings we had talked about in the Greater Thumb East. Outside chance for Brown City with the win last night. They are 4-4. Can they get in at 5-4? We've seen it before where some Greater Thumb Conference teams get in at 5-4, like USA. Yep. Bad Axe did 1 year. Can Brown City get in?
And I think Brown City has gotten in before in past years at 5-4, but they got a pretty tall task. They're going to be taking on a much improved USA team that stuck 60 points on the board last night. So
they have, you're right, back in 2012, they did get in with a 5-win record into the playoffs. That was back in 2012.
See, I'm using my memory, man. You're cheating using the computer. That's not fair.
Yeah, and in 2012, well, Michigan-football. .com, one of a great resources.
That's an awesome resource. Yeah.
They lost to Dansville back in 2012, but they defeated Sandusky to get into the playoffs back in 2012. So, and that was the last playoff appearance they had, actually.
And the Green Devils have their running back that's got two last names, is Patriots or Petraeus, depending on who you are.
Okay. And they had back-to-back playoff spots in 2012 and 2011, according to this. And they had lost to Harbor Beach, you know, in the pre-districts also back in 2011. So.
Everybody loses to Harbor Beach.
At this point right now, yeah. so far, yeah, Harbor Beach undefeated. They are 8-0 overall. Sandusky falls to a 5-3 must-win situation, I would say, to assure yourself a playoff spot because they're a little bit higher division.
Right.
Gets a little crowded up there. They'll have Bad Axe, and I think that game will be on Sandlack Broadcasting in Week 9.
Yep, we're planning on doing that on 92.5, and you know, we kind of talked about that game. We had Week 9 open to see how it all shook out, but Deckerville definitely is in the playoffs, obviously, and Peck on the edge. But, you know, both sides, Sandusky and Bad Axe, are playing for their playoff lives, and so we'll be there, and I'm sure that you guys will be covering a couple of good ball games.
Yeah, we're looking at the Brown City USA one. Speaking of Brown City, I want to get a look at Brown City because I talking to many coaches in other teams that said they just can't get in the red. They can't get in the end zone. When they get to the red zone, they can get there.
They've moved the ball really well this year. We've seen them two or three times now, but they just, you know, your penalties or turnovers have really hurt them.
Offensively,
Correct. Yep.
And that will stymie a drive. Ubbly Bearcats definitely in the playoffs after last week. They are 7-1. After they put a shellacking on Marlette, a young team. You know, Coach Lester in his email says, we just continue to play hard, but they only dressed 14 last night.
Yeah, so that makes it pretty tough.
Yeah. KPAC, they are 1-7. They did lose to Brown City last night. And then Memphis, 0-8 themselves last night also. But fighting for a playoff spot will be Sandusky. Brown City also throw them in the mix. Ubbly and Harbor Beach have already sealed their playoff spots at this point. And looking at the Greater Thumb West, Cass City, one loss, that was to Montrose, 2-point loss, 16-14. They had a close game against USA Patriots, who I think the most improved team right now. They are 5-3. Right now they got their fifth win. Can they get in with five wins? We've seen it before in the past where they get in with five wins. And in fact, that was back in 2017 and also 2015 and 2010. So this is a division for them where they could get in with five wins, but they would like to assure themselves with that sixth win when they host Brown City.
You sound so knowledgeable, man. You're ripping off all these numbers, and it's like it's too early in the morning to be.
It's a great help for this resource, michigandashfootball.com.
Great resource.
It is. So last year, they were 4-5. Right now, they are 5-3 right now, USA Patriots. And you know, a little bit smaller school than it was in the past there. So we'll see where they've dropped division-wise. We'll take a look at Snooster Hughes if we have time. But, you know, they had one of the toughest schedules. They had Ubbly Cassidy. We covered that game against Ubbly 28-6. And then losing an almost comeback against Cassidy, only 13-8 in that game. Yep. Rattled off big wins against Carroll, Bad Axe, Reese, Lakers that I saw where they blanked them 38-0. And then last week, seven, Thumb Choker Crew Phil was at that game. Harbor Beach, 14-21. That's it from USA. And that opened eyes, especially for Harbor Beach. Hey, we got to turn on the gas here because when we go into Sandusky, you know, they've improved since early in the week when they lost to Ubbly. So, you know.
Yeah, Harbor Beach had two, you know, pretty tough games back to back. I think two teams that could have beat Harbor Beach, a few more breaks, you know, but not taking anything away from Coach Shelke and his team. But USA, a fine ball club, as is Sandusky. And I was thinking too, Eddie, the Greater Thumb Conference overall, East and West, that upper echelon is really good.
Yeah.
We got some probably 6-8 teams, you know, East and West combined that are really good.
And Lakers get their win against Memphis. Now, they played some tough teams. They won against Carlton, but, you know, everybody's kind of surprised of Lakers, and then you realize how many young players they have on here. And a lot of injuries also caused.
I guess I thought, you know, Lakers would have a better year than what they've had.
Well, they got their sixth win last night. Yeah. They're in the playoffs, but they end the season with Harbor Beach.
Yep.
So that's a dandy of a game there.
Yep.
But Lakers in the playoffs, USA outside looking in, would like to get that sixth win against Brown City. They assure themselves. I know Brown City wants to assure themselves maybe a fifth win and sneak in. They have in the past. Cass City have clinched their playoff spot also. Hatchets are 4-4 themselves overall. They are looking to win against Sandusky and pull off the upset and maybe sneak in.
Yeah, there's a lot of games next Friday. That's how we left our schedule open that have a lot of meaning for a lot of teams, and it's going to be an exciting Week 9.
Croswell-Lexington needed to win. And they're playing a very good Dexter team in week nine on the road. Elmont Raiders 8-0. They have already clinched their playoff spot 2 weeks ago. Richmond in the playoffs. They are 7-1. Croswell Falls the 4-4 overall. North Branch last night clinched their playoff spot for sure at 6-2 with their win and comeback win against Croslex last night. Emily City Falls a 4-4. Algonac 1-7. Armada 3-5. And Yale 1-7 overall. So you have 1, 2, 3 teams from the BWAC in the playoffs. Outside looking in, Croslex, it's going to be very tough for them. Same thing with Emily City.
Yeah. And those, just because of the size of those schools, the enrollments, pretty tough to get in that high up at 5-4 is going to be tough for them.
All right, that's 11-player football. We're going to try to get a hold of head coach Troy Schelke, talk to him about his big win against Sandusky at Sandusky on the road. And they've had some tough games here. So we'll be talking to him in just a bit. 9:33 a.m. And we will, or I will, check in with my weather forecast here. I think you'll hear my voice here in just a bit. Yes. We'll check in with that in just a bit and be back with head coach Troy Schelke here on Sportsline.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck. On your way to or from the ball game, be sure to dine at Bench Warmers in West Park Sandusky. Choose from dinner entrees like New York strip, grilled salmon, plus lots of appetizers and sandwiches. Dinners are also served on Sunday from noon to 7. And of course, it's Sunday Fun Day. Football season is here, and Bench Warmers has 8 widescreen TVs to watch all the games. That's Bench Warmers in West Park Sandusky, where every Thursday is trivia night.
And welcome back. We talked about the Greater Thumb Conference. I'm trying to get a hold of Troy Schelke right now. But we do have interviews also with A-Player Football, and we forgot to mention that. Now we'll move into that real quick in the topics. NCTL Blue Division League title. Got a share. Deckerville, they are 8-0 overall. They'll have Peck. That's a road game for Deckerville, you believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at Peck, and you know, the Deckerville squad beat the Pirates 20-8 last year, and they've pretty much handled Peck most of the years, except that one year, Eddie, when Peck went to the state finals with the Abrego boys. That year, it was all Peck Pirates, and I can still recall that over there. It was quite a night there. But, yeah, it's at Peck, and it means a lot for both teams.
And a lot of good playoff points for Deckerville also after their win against Kingston. Came down to the final minutes. You can listen to the replay if you want. I mean, I was just wow.
I mean, you should play the replay.
Blown away.
Did you get to the replay?
I mean, the webcast is on there. We'll see if we can get to it. It's here at the end of the game. There is just incredible ending to the game. Kingston, great showing by Kingston. Fantastic. I actually got stats in there. We'll talk about that later on. We're talking about where these playoff spots are right now in divisions. Kingston Cardinals fall to 6-2, but they've got a playoff spot. They got a big game against Mayville. Mayville winning a big one over North Huron last night also. So right now, Mayville getting the win makes them 6-2. Cardinals fall to 6-2. North Huron falls to 5-3. Peck Pirates, do believe, are 5-3 themselves after their win over Burton Atherton. So all those teams... Peck especially needs to get that sixth win because in A-Player football, only 32 teams, am I correct?
Right, 32, yep.
At this point, so the window's closing quickly here.
You know, North Huron is looking at their schedule, courtesy of Jeff Kozel, executive secretary. North Huron is at Burton Atherton, so that could be a win for North Huron, so that could help them in the playoffs.
And Morris Orioles, they are 8-0, or no, they're 7-0. They're playing this afternoon. Flint International loses, so their playoff spot is Withering Way, as well as Genesee's Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart, Ashley Bears, and Burton Madison. I don't think it'll make that 32 a team mark. It looks like Morris will be the only lone team out of there. New Haven Merritt, they won last night 7-1. They are the NCTL White Division champions, while Akron Fairgrove themselves are Well, they are 3-5 now. All Saints got a win. They are 4. They'd be 4-4 right now overall after they defeated CPS last night. Owen Gage gets a win over Caseville, who falls to 0-8, while Owen Gage is 2-6, and CPS 1-7. The All Saint Cougars 4-4 overall. Now, I don't know the teams they play. Where are they at on the
playoff sheet?
It's going to be very tough. This is ending week 7, but it's pretty close with the numbers on the teams expected.
Yeah, with 32 teams, Flint International, right as of last week before last night's game, Flint International was at number 30, so they're just on the edge. Looking on the outside in is Genesee down towards the bottom. Mount Pleasant, Sacred Hearts pretty much out of it, and All Saints really don't have a chance. They're on the very last, the number 44 spot for 8-man team. So Peck Pirates are right there. They're number 28 going into last night's game. And so they'll gain some points there, but they're kind of on the bubble, and they need that win next week or some help from teams that they've played and some playoff points at this point.
Okay, let's see who is right here with us. Hello, Coach Shelke?
Yes.
All right, there he is right there, folks, as I promised. Thank you, Troy, for calling in on an early Saturday morning. Although you're an athletic director, you're used to these hours, right?
Yeah, coaching gets you early hours, too. So
Also having two sons at SVSU, right?
Yeah, although they're in Missouri. Josh is in Missouri anyways this weekend, so not making that trip, so going to have to watch it on the computer.
You sure? You ain't got no private jet to take you down there?
No private jet.
Okay.
AD doesn't pay that much.
Well, Coach, you were at Sandusky. You knew coming near the end of the season here that the teams, all teams are going to improve. You have to improve also. And it is a true testament of that as you were up against the USA Patriots last week. We had covered that game, and boy, USA really vastly improves from week one loss to Ubley. Although they have been pretty good throughout the whole season. Tough team back in week 7 that you face against the Patriots.
Yeah, really a tough stretch here starting with USA and they played us really tough, and that was anybody's ball game, really. And then another tough one last night. Sandusky's very well coached, very disciplined, and took everything we had to pull out that game last night.
What was Sandusky giving you fits about last night, especially in the first half when they had the lead?
Yeah, it seemed like kind of a strange game there. Both teams kind of sputtered in the first quarter, and it was 0-0, and then things kind of opened up from that point on. So, I felt pretty good about our ability to move the ball. I think we maybe had a turnover or two there in the first quarter. Once we took care of the ball, I thought we moved it pretty well.
And, Coach, this is Dave Frederick with Eddie here, and I called your game last night, and like you mentioned, first quarter is kind of back and forth. I thought Sandusky, that opening drive, moved the ball, but penalties hurt them, and they turned the ball over back to you guys. But I thought it was a tale of Sandusky in the first half, and you guys clearly in the second half. Late in the second quarter, I was really impressed. You guys drove about, 54 yards in 56 seconds to tie the game. That was a big shift in the power, if you will.
Yeah, that was a really good drive for us. Huge momentum shift just before half there. And so we talk about that, trying to score just before half and then getting the ball back in the second half. And that 14-point swing essentially was the game, us scoring real quickly before half and then getting the ball back and scoring right away in the second half.
You guys seem to make the good adjustments after the half there. I mean, even at the end of the third quarter, Sandusky was within 8 points. You guys were only leading 28-20. But defensively, you try to make the right adjustments, and offensively, the same deal. I saw it against Ubley. You see it against USA. Just making their slight adjustments with the vast weapons you have in offense.
Yeah, it gets a little complicated for us because we're trying to do a lot of different things offensively. So sometimes it takes us a little while to, figure out how the other team is trying to defend us. And so I think that helps. I think emotion is part of it, too. When we play with real emotion, we're really tough. When we play with less emotion, then it gets tough for us. So, yeah, we do try to make adjustments at halftime, but I think a lot of it is emotion. And Sandusky, came out kind of in their spread. We're sweeping outside and then passing to the outside, and it took us a while to adjust to that.
And, Coach, I thought even before the game started, Military Appreciation Night, and I thought you guys really classy. You had your kids out there greeting the veterans, and I thought that was a really cool atmosphere there.
Yeah, that was a great thing. I thank Coach Jacobson for including us in that. And that, you know, if you couldn't get emotional after that, you don't have many emotions. So that was just a great thing, honoring the veterans. And you know, our guys are really patriotic, and they take things like the national anthem and our veterans very seriously. Matter of fact, November 8th, we have a veterans breakfast where our players attend with the veterans here in Harbor Beach. So that was just a great thing that Craig and his wife did. And we're happy to support the veterans.
And, Coach, I thought, too, when I started calling the game, that you had those four wideouts pretty much throughout the game. I thought Dylan did a great job of throwing the ball. Really impressed with his ability to throw a nice, tight spiral. And when you have weapons like Michael Anderson going down the field, you guys were wide open all night long, it seemed like. But great passing attack.
Yeah, you know, Sandusky was really playing the run, and they defended the run well. So we passed, and Dylan was very accurate, and our receivers made plays, and our offensive line really protected well. So, you know, it was good to get our passing game going, and now we want to have that balance between the pass and run going forward if we can.
It always helps when you have Smug Galinsky on the line there for you, Coach.
Yeah, Smug and Jake and the rest of our offensive line, you know, really, really gelling. And so I thought pass protection particularly was good last night. And, you know, Mike Anderson playing all over the field. Sometimes he's a quarterback, sometimes he's a running back, sometimes he's a receiver. You know, as a senior, that's just the epitome of unselfishness. So, you know, just can't say enough about him and the other seniors and the leadership they're providing.
Well, Coach, you win the Greater Thumb East League title also. That's got to feel good. You seal that. Now you got to the end of season against the Lakers. Now, they've had their tough losses, but you know, they're not coming in this game to lose, too. They want some playoff points. They want a first-round game themselves as well as you do. You know this game, the Lakers are going to try everything they can to get this win.
Right. Lakers is another huge rival for us. And to me, they're right up there with Ubley, USA, and Sandusky. So, you know, another team with two losses, another playoff team. So this is just part of the stretch run leading into the playoffs. So we look at this like a playoff game.
Coach, back to the game, DeLorean Wedge, how was he to defend against?
Yeah, he's a tremendous player. We have a lot of respect for him. He's just, you know, fast and shifty, and that's a tough combination. So, you know, I think we kept him in check, but, he caught a long pass and had over 100 yards, and we felt like we did a pretty decent job against him. So, just a tremendous player, and I just wish he was a senior.
Just want to get your opinion on this. I heard there was a certain call that was called there, with a leaping call or something like that. What was your opinion on that one?
That was a point of emphasis a couple of years ago. You don't see it called a lot, certainly. That was a critical one for us because it was a key fourth down. You know, so he did hurdle. I'm sure Sandusky didn't agree with that call. That officiating crew we had last night is one of the best in the state. So a couple things I didn't agree with, but that's just an outstanding crew. And the officiating this year, as far as I'm concerned, has been just outstanding.
Maybe the NFL could use those guys, huh?
Heck yeah, I think this crew could help the NFL.
Yeah, Coach, from up in the box, we didn't really know. You know, the official just called a personal foul, but they didn't really explain it. And I know the Sandusky coaches, both Jacobson and Blashill, were not real happy and had quite a time out there. I know Craig talked to the official for quite a while there. So you said that was a hurdle jump? Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was a hurling. Was it number 45? Was it?
Yeah.
Big time. It was an incredible athletic play because he was up high in the air. So I wonder if that young man plays basketball. But it was an incredible play, and it was a hurdle, just a tough call at that point in the game.
Well, Coach Abby, thank you for your time. I know you're a busy guy. What you got going on today?
Well, you know, today, exchanging film with Lakers. Probably going to watch a little bit of Saginaw Valley, then maybe watch a little bit of Michigan. So today's kind of a semi-day off.
Michigan might be in trouble today, huh?
No, I'm feeling a good vibe on Michigan. I think I think Michigan's going to pull it out tonight.
You're a Michigan boy. Just like Eddie's got his Michigan hat, I've got my Michigan State sweatshirt on. So
yeah. Go blue.
There you
all
go.
Right. Coach, hey, congratulations on the Greater Thumb East League title. That's got to mean a lot to the boys. I know last year, tough loss in the semifinals. I know you try to keep a focus game by game, but, you know, some of those returnees kind of keep it's in the back of their mind, but you got to keep them focused game by game here.
Heck yeah, take it one game at a time. And, Lakers, going to want to beat us over there at Lakers. So that's the only thing we're focused on right now.
All right, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you much. I appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right. And that is head coach Troy Schelke, Greater Thumb East League champion. And, you know, I forgot to mention, defensively, good job there also.
Yeah, you know, we've, yeah. As Adam and I said in the broadcast.
Ron Rubel, by the way, yeah.
Ron Rubel, yeah. The legendary Coach Rubel, quite a basketball player in his day. He,
well, he's a head coach still, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's a great, great guy. I've known Ron a long time. But Adam and I last night, pregame, we were talking about DeLorean Wedge, and there are some media pundits who kind of poo-poo him. And,
no, not necessarily. I want to know who else is leading because we only have numbers from one area. We need to know the whole numbers.
And he finally, I thought he had a really nice game against Harbor Beach, a team that, like Coach said, contained him somewhat, but he still got his 100 yards. That puts him at over 1,400 yards rushing. But more importantly, I was surprised Carlson hit him in that 58-yard touchdown pass, hit him in stride, and once he caught the ball, nobody's going to catch him. And that was a pretty exciting play there.
And again, he had Coach Schelke just noted that the way they kind of surprised him, mixing things up, going to that spread. And again, from week earlier in the season, from what I saw, what Ubley's able to contain Wedge, now they open up the offense later on in the middle of the season for Sandusky, and now even more so near the end of the season. Sandusky's going to be okay here, I think, come week nine. But you can't look past Bad Axe.
But, you know, they got Wedge, obviously. They got Martin Tovar. They've got Zach Franzo is back and looking pretty good.
That really helps because of the lead blocking there also. So
and you talk about the three-headed monster of Ubley.
Yeah.
Craig has always had, Coach Jacobson, sorry, has always had a pretty good stable of running backs. Yeah. Jack Sheridan from years ago, Owashi. So they've had some good running backs, and these guys this year are really good. Obviously, Wedge being over 1,400 yards and 22 touchdowns now, 23 somewhere in there. He's one of the top backs in the area.
And remember, if you folks don't remember, I missed the game in 92.5 and Sandlot broadcast, and also streaming, the game was tied 14-14.
Yeah, so, and Sandusky actually led in the first half there, and Adam and I both thought maybe this is going to be something. But, you know, you talked about and Coach talked about they make the adjustments, and as good teams do, and you can just feel the momentum change with that late touchdown in the first half, and then they come right out. Start of the third quarter, score again, and you could just feel the air being sucked out of the fans and the players.
Yeah, well, it was 0-0 at the end of the first quarter, and then Sandusky scored in the first play of the second quarter. DeLorean Wedge, 57-yard touchdown reception. Yes, a reception from Carlson. Sandusky led 8-0 of 11:58 in the second quarter, and then Harbor Beach responded with a touchdown of their own. Michael Anderson got a touchdown, 2 yards, but Sandusky still led 8-6 after they stopped the two-point conversion also. And you talked about Tovar scoring a 4-yard touchdown run. Sandusky extended the lead right there, 14-6, with only just a minute left in the first half. But man, bam, just like that, Dylan Kadar hit Michael Anderson on a 7-yard TD pass, the QB combo duo, though you could say. Or as he said, just Michael Anderson does it all on the field. 2-point conversion was good, and they were tied up at 14-14 all at that point.
And the big play in that drive was Devin Puff. Took it off from about their own 47, and he took it down inside the 15-yard line. That was a big play.
And we had Puff, like you said, that 54-yard TD run. KR had a 12-yard TD, so two touchdowns by Harbor Beach, 28-14 at that point. But Carlson scored in a 4-yard TD. Harbor Beach still led with 28-20 with 1:20 left in the third quarter. And then, again, it was all Harbor Beach again. Kadar, Michael Anderson with a 25-yard TD pass, and Harbor Beach goes up by two scores, 34-20. And Sandusky just could not score. And, again, you know, a questionable call at one point there. Puff getting some insurance points, 9 yards out with a touchdown. So, overall, it was an entertaining game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was entertaining, and that call will probably still be a source of conversation for some time. Certainly killed what looked to be a Sandusky scoring drive, but happened on right in front of Coach Schelke, actually. So he had the best view in the house of it, and according to him, it was the proper call.
All right, we'll be right back. I know we're creeping to the top of the hour. We'll be right back here on Sportsline on WMIC AM 660. Welcome back to Sports Line. We got a couple minutes before the top of the hour news to talk about some volleyball.
Yeah, we had mom contact us last week during the football broadcast. Say, hey, what about volleyball? Like,
Send your info.
Yep, send your info.
Although I got to say that Jenna Wilkie does send her info.
Jenna does a great job. I told this mom, I'm like, we can only do as much as the coaches cooperate. So real quick, actually, the cooperation came this time from Jeff Kozel, again, NCTL Executive Secretary. We had the standings for volleyball in the Stars division. Dryden, 7-0 in the league, 12-1 overall, followed by Deckerville, 5-2, 10-2. Kingston's 5-2, 12-2. Pack Pirates are 3-4, 8-5, while Genesee is 1-6, 4-9, and Mayville is 0-7 and 3-10. And then over in the Stripes division, North Huron 8-0, undefeated in NCTL, 11-3 overall. Carsonville, Port St. Anne Tigers, good to see them having a good year. 6-2, 7-6 overall. Owen Gage is 5-2, 5-8. Akron Fairgrove is 2-5, 3-10. Bay City All Saints, 1-5, 2-8. And Caseville at the bottom, still looking for their first win. They're 0-7 and 0-13. And how about the Greater Thumb East champs?
Yeah, Harbor Beach Lady Pirates. They are Greater Thumb East champions in volleyball. Brown City this past week lost to Ubley in four sets.
And so it's a great year to be a Pirate.
They've got some good teams all the way around. So congratulations to Harbor Beach Lady Pirates winning the Greater Thumb East League title in volleyball. Blue Water Area Conference, I do believe it is North Branch once again.
North Branch, they knocked off Croslex recently. They're to take control of those league standings.
As the final regular season games are next week. Sear will be back with a second hour sports line. Welcome back to Sportsline, second hour. I'm Eddie Fury, along with my host, co-host, Dave Frederick. And Dave, you want me to play a clip of the ending of the Deckerville at Kingston High School eight-player football game and how it ended. Great game. One of all that covered, 42-34 final score in that one.
Yeah, we talked about that game a week before it even was played and kind of had that bullseye there that was going to be a great game. And a lot of potential for both sides and a lot of outcomes there. And after seeing Kingston, I was especially glad that you guys were covering that for Thumb Tailgater. And certainly a very exciting finish. And you and Jonathan had that game, and looks like it was a pretty fun ending to call.
All right, here's the ending of that game. Exciting finish. Came down to a defensive play.
Here we go. 1:12 to go here. And they're going to spread it out now. Here we see Kayla in the shotgun formation. 42. 34. He's going deep to Green.
He has it! No!
Intercepted!
Oh, Green had it, but kind of got his hand in there and just took it away from him. He had Jack Green down the seam, threw a perfect ball. Green had it in his hands. Kind of just flicked his hand up in there and
ball
stripped
popped
it away. Up in the air, and he took it away for his interception. That'll seal the deal as Deckerville take over at their own 35-yard line with 101 to go.
Wow, what a play by Kynan.
Unbelievable. Jack Green had it, and as you said, Kynan reached his hand in there and scooped it away from his arms like stealing a baby.
Yeah, that was a great pass by Kaler. He hit Green right in stride, threw it out where his receiver could go get it. Green ran right under it, but Kynan was right there with him step for step. And Kynan, if he doesn't knock that ball away, Green's got a first down. And Kingston is in business with about a minute to go, but instead now here comes victory formation for the Deckerville Eagles.
And they did go to victory formation there. Great
stealing
game.
Stealing a baby. Nice call.
Well, I was going to say probably stealing a worm because, you know, the Cardinals and the Eagles thing, you know. I just couldn't think of something. I was just shocked.
Yeah.
Because Kingston was driving the ball. Every time they touched it, they were able to drive that ball. They scored touchdowns in the second half. Things really opened up in the second half for them, and they're just doing a heck of a job out there offensively. We saw them. Caleb Goss and Jake DeLong carrying that offense. Aaron Kaler, great offensive line there. They were giving Deckerville fits. But Deckerville brings in Ethan Bowerman to spark him up in the second half.
Yep, and Coach Brown has talked about Bowerman doing just that. He's come on strong here late in the season, and just goes to show you that Coach Brown has talked about before about somebody goes out, they just bring somebody else in and fill the gaps and keep on playing. And it's been a cast of characters, if you will, for Deckerville to get the job done. And certainly we have Isaac Kynath at quarterback. Your team's going to be in pretty good hands.
And defensively also, because a lot of those players playing both sides of the ball in that game. Jonathan Bisher there with me with a call of the game. Hey, I tell you what, though, a great runs by Jake Delano, who had 197 yards rushing. Caleb Goss had some great lead blocks, but he had 115 yards rushing himself.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, and 324 yards total rushing. Total offense, 375. They only had 51 yards passing, but some of those were key ones. Jack Green had a touchdown reception. Jake DeLon, three touchdowns for the Kingston Cardinals also. So great job by both teams there. However, turnovers will hurt you. Back-to-back turnovers on offensive series for Kingston. They threw an interception, but the Kingston Cardinal defense did stop Decker from scoring. They fumbled the ball. Deckerville scored on that one. Deckerville fumbled the ball. Kingston scored on that one also. But with the other interception, that made it three turnovers, two of them costly for the Kingston Cardinals.
Yeah, and you can't afford to have those against good teams like Deckerville. They'll take advantage of that. And Sonica was really a great ball game, very exciting finish.
And for the stats on the Deckerville Eagles, this is unofficial, by the way. Ibar was held. You know, he was still able to slice and dice in there. He had 105 yards rushing. There were some losses. There were some great sacks also. The Kingston Cardinals stopped a fourth and short situation where Isaac Cunningham was going to sneak in. Kingston Cardinals able to penetrate that great offensive line and stop that one. And it was a great standoff there on fourth down to switch over turnover and downs. Ibarra had, again, 105 rushing yards total. Ethan Bowerman, though, comes in the second half. Two touchdown rounds of 44 and 46 yards. All that in the second half, 94 yards rushing just like that. Yeah, he usually does a lot of the special teams returning.
Yeah, yeah, and he's really exciting to play. We've seen him a couple times this year on 92.5, and he's that Deckerville team is pretty special. You know, they find ways to get it done, but kudos to Kingston. Sound like they really moved the ball and had a nice night.
And also 49 yards for Connor Lamont. No, actually, 49 yards rushing for Isaac Kineff. 19 yards only for Connor Lamont, but his job, it was tough. He was doing all the lead blocking for the running backs, whether it was Bowerman or Ibarra or Isaac Kineff also. A lot of good QB sneaks, and tell you what, Kineff has really improved in the last couple of years. He had some good passing yards, big touchdowns to Trayton Kolesa, a 80-yard touchdown pass.
Wow.
Trayton Kolesa caught it around the 49 and ran it in. The yak after the catch. That's yards after the catch. Had another 38-yard reception that was big also. The other touchdown pass for Isaac Cunningham to Richie Oldenburg for 8 yards into the end zone also. Total receiving yards, 118. 155 overall passing yards. Kolesa had 118. Total offense, 425 yards of total offense for the Eagles. They had 278 yards rushing, 155 receiving.
Yeah, if you like offense, and I'm sure you had a good crowd there last night, but pretty exciting ball going up and down the field. And, you know, credit Coach Brown's, if you will, Dan and Bill for doing their job and having their kids be able to pull out that win. And certainly sounded like that key play was the kind of stealing the baby. That was a good one.
Yeah, and it just with 2:51 to go in the fourth quarter, Kingston had their chances. They had a holding penalty, so penalties did hurt them offensively. They had about three or four false starts last night also. And then a QB sack by Deckerville by number 53, Travis Trigger, and number 9, Ethan Bowerman with the assist, made it 4th and 24, and then an incomplete pass, but Kingston was able to get that ball back, but then stopping Deckerville, forcing Deckerville to punt after that. Ethan Bowerman, like I said, 46-yard TD run, two-point run on a broken play by quarterback Isaac Conniff to make it 42-34 near the end. Jake DeLon had his 34-yard TD run, and a two-point pass was no good when they tied it up 34-34 with 10:41 left in the fourth quarter for the Kingston Cardinals. At the end of the third, 34-28, Deckerville. Ethan Bowerman with another 44-yard TD run. Quarterback Isaac Conniff, two-point run himself also. He's been a very important part of the managing the game out there. Kingston's number 30, Caleb Goss, had a 6-yard TD run, where Kingston had their second lead of the game, 28-26. So they had the lead twice in this game. Deckerville took back the lead, 26-22. In the middle of the third quarter, Carlos Ibar had a 3-yard TD run. Two-point pass was no good. But Kingston had their first lead of the game, 22-20. In the third quarter, where Kingston's Jake DeLong with a 21-yard TD run. Two-point pass was good to Jack Green via Aaron Kaler. And some of the other scoring at the half, it was 20-14. Kingston scoring late in the second half with 158. Kingston's number 87, Jack Green, got a 15-yard TD reception via Aaron Kaler. And that was before that where Kingston recovered when it was 20-8 in the second quarter with just over 4 minutes to go. So they were able to get a score before the end of the half. And that was a good thing because Deckerville scored with Isaac Cunningham on a 10-yard TD run with 6:37 to go, 20-8 at that point. So Jake DeLong had a 68-yard TD run also to make it 14-8 earlier in the second quarter.
We saw DeLong, you know, down in Peck last week, and I was really impressed with him too. You know, a lot of focus was on Goss, rightfully so. A big boy likes to rumble and stumble down the field, but DeLong is a very talented, capable running back, and he obviously put on a good show for you last night there as well. But Jack Green, what a target, huh? He's about, what, 7 foot tall?
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, some of these passes were good lasers. They just kind of out of reach of some of the players there. Aaron Kaler, good quarterback. Yeah. He can pass it. And I saw what
and
Isaac
Cunningham. He can run the ball, too.
Right. Yep. Both teams were very similar styles.
Yep.
They had their big boys. They had their good, quick running backs. They had their both quarterbacks really good on the field. They're managing the game. I would say the turnovers was a huge, huge letdown for the Kingston Cardinals. That's what probably hurt them. Otherwise, you take those out of the equation, I think Kingston wins this game.
Yeah, and coaches, we'll talk about, you know, in order to win, you can't have mistakes and you can't shoot yourself in the foot. And from what you're describing, it sounded like Kingston did that and it maybe had a large part in them losing that ball game.
All right, coming back, we will have the interview with head coach Bill Brown. The first score of the game was at the 5:57 mark, by the way, in the first quarter. 8-0, Trayton Coles for an 80-yard TD reception. Caught it about the 45. Two-point was good by kind of at that point. So it was a fantastic game. And a big shout-out to Carl Necco and the Kingston High School staff and the community schools. Very welcoming. And I think that was my first game at Kingston. I've covered them in other games on the at other schools, but it was very cool to be there. Beautiful fall night, wasn't it, last night?
It was beautiful. Sunset was beautiful going down. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Dave Frederick there. I'm Eddie Fury. I have Bill Brown. I talked to him after that game coming up here. We also have Coach McDaniel.
Rob McDaniels, yep.
Yeah, and because Deckerville and Peck will be facing each other. Well, yeah, we're staying on the topic of eight-player football. We will talk about BWAC also. We got some a little bit of stats on that and the outcomes in those game also. We'll be right back here on Sportsline on WMIC AM 660.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
This is Carrie Regantine, administrator at Autumnwood of Deckerville. We are proud to announce that Autumnwood has been recognized as a 2019 Silver Achievement and Quality Award recipient by the American Healthcare Association and National Center for Assisted Living. The award is the second of three distinctions possible through the program, which recognizes providers across the nation that have demonstrated their dedication to improving quality of care for residents and patients in long-term and post-acute care. Our facility has worked hard to provide excellent care and service to our local community. Our success is a direct reflection of the hard work and dedication that our employees put in each and every day. If you would like more information about Autumnwood of Deckerville, call Sarah Albright at 810-376-2145, 810-376-2145, to set up a tour.
On your way to or from the ball game, be sure to dine at Bench Warmers in West Park Sandusky. Choose from dinner entrees like New York strip, grilled salmon, plus lots of appetizers and sandwiches. Dinners are also served on Sunday from noon to 7. And of course, it's Sunday Fun Day. Football season is here, and Bench Warmers has 8 widescreen TVs to watch all the games. That's Bench Warmers in West Park Sandusky, where every Thursday is trivia night.
The staff of Knox Disposal in Brown City is proud to sponsor local sports programs. Knox Disposal is a full-service waste disposal company specializing in curbside residential pickup, commercial dumpsters, and residential dumpster services. Knox Disposal has been in business since 1963, providing affordable service to their customers. Knox Disposal also offers their customers one free large item pickup per year, such as a couch or non-Freon appliance. They service a wide region from south of Yale to north of Palms and Lakeshore west through Kingston. Knox Disposal is a family business serving the area for three generations and offers curbside, drop-off, and dumpsters. Check out their service area, pricing, and all other information online at knoxdisposal.com and sign up for online statements and bill pay. Call 810-346-3177 today.
Welcome back to Sportsline WMIC AM 660. You know, we were talking about this back in week six there, Dave. How exciting the NCTL Blue Division is ending.
Yeah, you know, top to bottom, this year it's been a really competitive outside of Burton on the bottom. It's been, you know, Mayville and North Huron are much improved, but it's been a dogfight, excuse me, every week. Yeah. And it's been a lot of fun to cover.
All right, we got Bill Brown here now. I did an interview with last night after the victory over Kingston 42-34.
Eddie Fury with you with on Sportsline WMIC and Thumbtogether Sports. With me, head coach Bill Brown. Quite a battle here against the Kingston Cardinals, getting the win 42-34. They showed some game out here. You guys did too. It's probably the most evenly matched games of the season for high school eight-player football this season for your team.
Oh, most definitely. Kingston's well coached. He's got a great squad there. They definitely, we were undersized the whole night. They play a physical style ball. And we had to throw the ball. We had a lot of kids step up. Isaac did a great job at quarterback. We got to Trayton a couple times. Kalesa there at the end, that helped us out a little bit early. And then putting in
Ethan Bowerman
in the second half. He was like a little spark plug for us. He didn't play the first half. Then we put him out there. You could tell that we play a lot of kids going one way. We had about four kids, and there was a surge, and we had a couple surges, and he was part of that surge, and he's just stepping up as a teammate, and that's what's great to see as a coach.
Third-year quarterback, Isaac Kainef, in the backfield. I got called for a pass interference. You know, it helped out Kingston there a bit. Oh, then he makes a big play at the end of that of this game. Huge strip interception away from one of the top receivers down there and just ended the game there. So defensively, your brother, Coach Dan Brown there, making the adjustment, but it all ended up on Isaac making that play there.
Oh, he made plays all night. He made them on offense. Made a couple. We had play action passes, and he able to squirt out and get his first downs. Or we ran him a few times tonight. We're going to have to run him. He's a pretty good athlete. And defensively, he's all over the place. You know, we're going to have contact when we're defensive backs, and that's kind of the way we play a physical style. And Coach Boone did a great job tonight against Kingston, and we were just able, hey, you're going to get in a game like this, and sometimes you got to survive. It was like last week, we had to survive, so this week we're able to survive. You know, we get a score. If they, you know, they're tough to stop. They're a good football team.
You got to see a lot more weapons offensively, y'all. So your quarterback making some great passes, your receivers making the great catches, your trio of running backs back there. I would say even throwing a fourth running back because your quarterback did a great job. Give credit to your offensive line getting those holes, too.
Oh, the offensive line did a great job. Richie Oldenburg, Travis Trigger, Carson Benji, Trayton did a great job, and so did Jake and Siski. Did a great job holding them holes all night. You know, most of those guys are, you know, we got three of those guys going one way. The whole right side goes one way. So when you can, in second half, you can see us getting a little surge there. And those kids work hard, and you know, they're not getting their name in there for a touchdown, but they're doing all the work to get the touchdown.
Coach, to have these many tough games at the end of the season kind of prepares you for the playoffs. I know you don't want to think about that. You got week nine. You want to get this outright league title. You got Peck. Sometimes they can throw a little mix. You know, they're a little banged up, but, you know, they know it's week nine. They're ready for play. They got to make the playoffs themselves. They got a big win tonight, so they're looking for a playoff spot. So, you know, they're going to come here all on fire and all cylinders.
Oh, most definitely. Very well coached. Coach McDaniel's great there. they definitely have some components. They have some speed. They can throw the ball. They got good receivers. So even they want to go in two tights, they're tough. So we got our work cut out for us next week, and we're getting everybody's best game, and we accept that. I think it's going to make us better. Definitely we get through. We get some rest. Look at this. We got to improve over next week because we just can't sit back because Peck's going to come after us. Like you said, they're going to be hungry to get in the playoffs. So, but we got to get better this week. And bottom line, we go right back to drawing board, you know, this weekend, and we get the kids ready for next week. We heal up a little bit because this is a physical game for our kids. So get right back at it. And of course, we'd like to win that conference championship outright. It's pretty important. And I don't know. We haven't been 9-0 in a long time, I think since 16 or something. So it's pretty important for us to finish the season off at 9-0, and not very many teams can say they've done that before. And this team's been so resilient, and there's been many things that go on between injuries and some other things that have gone on that these kids have had to go in different spots, or we've had to just make some plays, or we'd have to anything to make the team better. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a maturation of a team getting better and better.
And you know, some of these players from last year, they're not going to say it, but you know what's on their mind. They didn't like how the season ended last year, getting blown out like that. And they obviously, you can see the conditioning and the hard work they put in during the off season.
Oh, it's a topic that we talk about, you know, here and there. But you know, if you're a sophomore and you went to the state championship, and you're on that team, or you're a freshman that was able to go up there, what a great experience for the kids. Is it worth all the hard work and all that? Most definitely. And these guys want to get back there. It's going to be a tough road for us. But if we play great as a team, play great defense, special teams, and we can do a few things, we got some nice components, you know, with some nice running backs and receivers. If we can stay healthy, knock on wood, and do all the right things and get a little lucky, because even when you win a state championship or get there, you got to get some luck. So hopefully we'll get some luck, and maybe we'll be able to make a run. We definitely have a team that is determined to play their best ball together, and that's the most important thing.
Thank you, Coach, and congrats on that league title. You got a share of it. You got to finish the job.
Thank you, sir.
Interview with head coach Bill Brown, and good takes on there you had, and he knows it's going to be tough. They were banged up at the end of the game last night. I mean, you saw some players of both sides on their backs.
You know, Adam and I talked pregame last night about the technology that we've really stepped into this year at 92.5, and some tailgaters, of course, been there and done that, but appreciate the expertise that you guys have brought along, and that really opened some doors for us. And that interview was a great example of you doing that, and then just having to do your editing this morning and
quickly
like I usually do, trying to catch coaches. And I just want to say I really appreciate the coaches' times when I have to call them on Saturday morning, because the last thing they want to do is talk to a sports media dude. But they've all been really gracious. Bill Brown, Rob McDaniels, they're all really good about it.
Troy Shelke, Coach Grunman.
Yep.
At one point, James Lusby was driving on the road within cell phone outage. He says, hurry up.
but just appreciate those guys. Yeah. And it makes our show, in my mind, better.
Yes.
And it's always good to talk to those guys. We always try to talk to just the winning coaches. Unless, you know, sometimes you have a game like that, Duncanville Kingston, that it wouldn't have been bad to talk to both coaches.
Hey, man, Mayville and North Huron, that was a big win for Mayville. As North Huron gave Deckerville some fits, only winning 18-0, if you recall, a couple weeks ago in Week 7. And, you know, pretty excited what Mayville and Kingston's going to have in Week 9. So that's going to be another classic battle. Another classic battle. Once again, the big rivals, especially in the NCTL, when it comes to eight-player football, a lot of great rivalries. And we're going to see one in Week 9 with Deckerville at Peck. Now, Peck, you know, they've had a lot of injuries. They're using a lot of young players. We saw them back on a Saturday homecoming where Kingston just rolled all over them. Yeah. Hopefully they can regroup. And they did with a big win over Burton Atherton for the Peck Pirates. And you had a talk with Rob McGowan coming up here in a bit.
Yeah, in a little bit. And we, I just want to say Mayville, you know, really happy for those guys in North Huron. Two programs that have really improved and stepped up this year and enjoying really good success. And that's always good to see, made that NCTL Blue that much more competitive. And yeah, you're right to talk to Coach McDaniels. They're plugging holes and trying to get things done. They're switching kids around.
Yeah.
And they're trying to hang tough and see if they can get in the playoffs.
Well, it was 18-6 at the half with maybe a leading, and then they scored 8 points in the third, 14 points. North Heron only scored 8 in the fourth, making it 40-14, your final score. North Heron had 161 yards rushing to Mayville's 317 yards rushing, only 85 yards passing for Mayville, only 13 for North Heron in that game also. Austin Middleton, we talked about him for Mayville, 5 of 9, 85 yards, 2 touchdown passes against the North Heron Warriors, and he also had 26 carries, 153 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Steven Gilbert, number 7 of Mayville, 3 receptions, 53 yards, and a touchdown. North Heron, just 161 yards for their top rusher, and I don't have a name on here, unfortunately. Sorry. You know, they still able to run the ball. Yep. Okay, it's just Mayville double that themselves. So, big win. And that's going to be a great game, I think, set up here between Mayville Wildcats and the Kingston Cardinals. So, will the cat get the bird? We'll find out. It's like Sylvester and Tweety.
That's right.
We'll find out.
Hey, that was a good one.
You like that one. Okay. Up next, Dave Frederick. We'll have the interview with Rob McDaniels. They have a big showdown. Must-win situation, you could say, almost, for the Peck Pirates against Deckerville.
Phil Nickel, wake up.
Come out, we'll check on the weather, and also our interview with Rob McDaniel coming your way.
From your Truck Month headquarters, Graf, Chevrolet, Buick, and Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, it's that time of year again.
What time of year?
You remember. What month is it?
Oh, Truck Month.
Yep, and the savings are the best they've been all year.
Save up to $16,000 on demos in stock.
Truck Month.
Lease a crew cab Silverado Trail Boss for only $225 a month.
Truck Month. Wait a second, $225 a month?
That's right, Sam, a custom crew Trail Boss for only $225 a month.
Truck Month.
How about $14,000 off on a 19 Silverado LD double cab?
Truck Month. What about the loaded up Suburban demo?
How does $10,000 off MSRP plus 0% financing for 72 months sound, Sam?
Truck Month.
Not looking for a truck but still need an all-wheel drive vehicle? You can lease a Buick Encore for only $199 a month.
We currently have a great selection of new trucks on the lot, so don't delay. Stop in at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Truck Month. All prices include GMEPP plus lease loyalty.
Checking in with your weather forecast for Saturday. Expect partly sunny skies. The high will be around 58 degrees. Winds blowing anywhere from 3 to 10 miles per hour. Gusts could get over 15 plus miles per hour. Saturday night, the skies will be mostly cloudy. The low will be about 44 degrees. Winds anywhere from 5 up to about 8 miles per hour. Sunday, temperatures expected to be in the low 60s. The skies will be mostly cloudy, high about 64, 65. Sunday night, the skies will be clear, the low around 45 degrees. That's your check-in of your Sand Lake Broadcasting weather forecast.
It's October. Time for fall. Time for bonfires. Time for trick-or-treat. And time for deals at Thumb Cellular. This month, get a $50 gift card to your favorite local grocery store when you upgrade, add a phone, or switch to Thumb Cellular with a 2-year contract. Are you a Samsung fan? Get up to $150 off select Samsung Galaxy smartphones with a 2-year contract. Need a charger, earbuds, or a case? Buy 2 accessories valued at $30 or more and save $10. So pick your fall favorite. Take your bonfire selfies and grab your treats from Thumb Cellular this October. Go to thumbcellular.com/deals for more details or visit their offices in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. They have the knowledge and experience to help you save. Switch to Thumb Cellular and find out why they're the talk of the Thumb. Deals are valid through October 31st, 2019. Terms and conditions apply. Tri-County Equipment, your John Deere dealer, invites you to gear up for fall and take advantage of special clearance pricing during the fall tractor sale. Get 0% financing for 60 months on many models. Buy the 1023E utility tractor with quick action loader for only $12,249. The 3025E utility tractor with 300E loader package is reduced to just $18,000. You can also get additional discounts on many models when you add additional implements or pay cash. Save big bucks on the John Deere 1025 utility tractor with 120R loader and powerful 23.9 horsepower diesel engine, reduced to $15,849. There's also the 2025R utility tractor with 120R loader priced to move at $18,500. There are also many other models priced to go. Remember, it's 0% financing for 60 months during the fall tractor sale now through October 31st at Tri-County Equipment, with 10 locations serving Michigan in Sandusky, Marlette, Gillette, Caro, Bad Axe, Burton, Lapeer, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, and Reese.
Tri-County Equipment, we got it all.
Welcome back to Sports Line, WMIC AM 660. Co-host Eddie Fury, along with Dave Frederick. The NFL Championship Chase finale here, folks. And Dave Frederick had an interview with Rob McDaniel.
Yeah, the Peck Pirates licking their wounds in that Kingston loss, but they're coming back around and got a win last night, a big one against Burton Atherton. That was good win to get back to their playoff hopes, and got a hold of Coach McDaniel this morning, and he's always good about talking to me, and looking forward to getting a win here maybe, but they're going to have their hands full with Deckerville, and Coach McDaniels will be the first one to tell you how good Deckerville is, but we have that interview with Coach now.
Talking to Peck football coach Rob McDaniels, and Coach, coming off a tough loss to Kingston at your homecoming game 2 weeks ago. You came back big last night with a high-powered offense that you've showed signs of, and got a win last night over Burton Atherton. Just talk about that ball game and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we were physically beat against Kingston last week. They were definitely the more physical team. And that was our third physical game we've had in a row. So we were ailing a little bit. We worked a lot more on execution this past week, and were able to put together some nice plays last night. And the kids executed well. So we were able to hit the holes, and we got some decent running backs, and they were able to get in space and make things happen for us.
And I don't know if you had a chance to see any kind of stats or anything, but do you have any kind of numbers for anybody that had touchdowns and rushing yardage for you?
Caleb Potter led us. He had 109 yards and a score last night. Brandon Winarski, we had to move him to fullback to fill a couple of gaps that we've had. And he rushed for 86 yards and ended up with five scores, four on the ground and one in the air. Nathan Robar, he had 85 yards rushing. He also had a touchdown last night. So it was pretty balanced. We've had four or five kids with nine carries plus. So we were able to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, nice to spread it around. And, of course, Burton Atherton has struggled throughout the season, as several of the Burton teams have. And always wonder why they just don't combine and have one team. But regardless of that, good win for Peck to get back in the W side of the column. That Kingston game, those guys were big. We did that game on 92.5. And a big team. I thought you guys did a decent job early on of starting Goss, the running back. But Kingston's got a lot of weapons.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're very physical. They're big. And when they swapped out their running backs, they were just the same size kids. I think the running backs went to guards last week. So I think they got their rest and they were blocking on the line. But so, yeah, they're definitely more physical.
Yeah, but I thought you guys played a lot of heart, and thought Kyle Vincent made a fantastic catch there in the end zone for your, I believe it was your last score. I went up between two Kingston defenders and hauled that in for a touchdown. That was a pretty exciting play as well.
Yeah, it was. We're trying to do a few different things based on what we have personnel-wise. And, it's been pretty fun the last couple weeks.
So coming up, week 9 of football is here upon us, coming up. And hard to believe that we're through it, but you're back at home again and hosting the NCTL Blue Champions, Deckerville Eagles.
Oh, yeah, that's always a great game. Traditionally, we've had a great competition between the two of us. Both teams are really pretty solid. Deckerville executes so well, and actually it doesn't matter what they have talent-wise, and they're always talented, but they execute so well, and you have to have a perfect game, to even compete with them. So we're hoping that we can put together something this week and give them a pretty solid game, and you never know what happens.
And certainly they had their hands full last night in the team that you played 2 weeks ago. They played Kingston, had to rally, something that Deckerville has not had to do much this year, had to come from behind. They pulled out a pretty exciting win. That was a pretty good ball game up in Kingston, I believe it was 42-34. Two pretty good teams there.
Yeah, I thought Kingston could give them some trouble based on their size and their physicalness. And it looks like it did hold true. But like I said, Deckerville, they execute. They don't – you can't get Deckerville on their heels at all. They just, you know, they take a hit, and then they just come right back and execute and do what they do best. So they're never out of a game.
And so playoff-wise, Coach, I think you guys need a win Friday night to have a shot at 5-4, or am I wrong?
We're 5-4 right now.
Or
5-3 right now. We're 5-3 right now. Yeah, if we can get a win next week, you know, we may even be able to host a game or two here.
Uh-huh.
But if we do drop one next week, then we got to, you know, hope for help, and, you know, maybe we can do something once we get in the playoffs. We'll definitely be on the small side of the playoff bracket.
Been talking to Peck Coach Rob McDaniels, and once again, kind of fun your week eight and still being able to talk about playoffs, so that's a sign of a pretty good season. Lost some tough ones along the way, but you're in that rough NCTL Blue Division where that this year, of all years, it's just stacked with some pretty good ball clubs.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a possibility that everybody but Atherton could be in the playoffs, and you won't see that in any other division in the state.
And your thoughts, just real quick, don't mean to hold you up here, but we've been saying here at the office in the studios that we really believe that a team from the NCTL is going to be state champion. We've got, you know, the three divisions and a pretty good shot at doing well this postseason.
Oh, I believe so, too. There's a lot of great competition in the NCTL year. And, you know, there's definitely a few teams that may have a chance at, you know, making some noise in the playoffs.
Yep. Okay, been talking to Coach Rob McDaniels from Peck Pirates Football. Coach, thanks for your time this Saturday morning, and congratulations again to you and your kids on the win. And Friday night, next Friday night, you've got the Deckerville Eagles at home, and a lot on the line there, some pride, and it's a rivalry game. The kids know each other pretty well, and certainly you'd like to have a win there. So thanks for your time, and you guys get healthy, and we'll be talking to you again.
All right, thanks a lot, Dave.
We'll be back after these words.
And welcome back. Thank you to Rob McDaniel, Bill Brown earlier, and also Troy Schelke. With us, special bonus interview here on Sportsline and WMIC AM 660. Still sounds groggy and tired and worn out because it was a battle for him. North Branch Bronco head coach Jeremy Furman. Coach, thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Appreciate being on with you guys.
Well, you were telling me the tale of two halves here. Croswell, Lexington Pioneers, you know they were fighting for a playoff spot. They were going to come in on all cylinders and fight hard. Same deal with you guys also. You would like to clinch that sixth win, and you did it. And it was, like you said, a tale of two halves. Croswell Lexington leading 13-0. Second quarter, you get 6 points, making it 13-6 at the half. And then you turned it on in the second half.
Yeah, we, you know, going into that night last night, we knew, you know, they're homecoming. They're battling for that playoff spot. And, you know, on our end, we handled some adversity throughout the week. We had had four starters out on defense last night. We had another one go down. And we also had some other issues we had to take care of during the week. So going in, you know, the adversity was there and kind of things were stacked against us. And we just didn't play. You know, this year with this group, it's kind of our number one opponent is ourselves, you know. And we and it showed the first half, you know, with too many mistakes, penalties, mental errors, turned the ball over. But at halftime, wasn't X's and O's at all. It was a matter of us just taking care of each other, coming together, and ask the seniors to go out there and lead, and to lead us to our the first time in school history been back-to-back playoffs. So boys played with a lot of grit, determination, and very proud of their efforts. And yes, it's nice to clinch that playoff berth again.
And Coach, this is Dave Frederick here with Eddie. Congratulations on getting into the playoffs. Never easy going into Croswell to play a game, but you guys did the job the second half. Looking forward now, you guys got a game coming up with Carroll. Any thoughts about that?
Yep, you know, it's going to be it's at home for us. It's our seniors' night, so it'll be a great night for our seniors. You know, and we, like I said, we're battling injury bug and sick bug right now. So we got a lot of regrouping to do this weekend to get kids and, you know,
in spots that we can believe and be successful. Carroll's going to come in here. They played us tough last year up there, without a doubt. And I anticipate the same thing from them, next Friday night.
You know, when we covered you in week four against Almont, that was a tough loss for you. You were able to get some yards and kind of regroup a little bit in the second half and that big loss. And then a close loss against Richmond, a tough team. The Blue Water Area Conference, having North Branch, and I do believe is a great testament to make the BWAC even tougher here. From week four, it seems like you guys were able to bounce back. Close loss to Richmond. You played against what I believe is a pretty good Emily City team, and to get this win against Croslex, a true testament how these you try to keep these players looking ahead and stay a little bit resilient and tell them, hey, we got to move on here. We still have other things to accomplish.
Absolutely. I've been in the BWAC since, with the exception of 3 years where I was, out down the road there, down south, coaching there, building that program up, and just very familiar with it. And, anything can happen on a Friday night and in the BWAC. And, I do believe that, bringing North Branch in the league does make us stronger. Obviously week four was, the kids from down south there, a good group of kids, and we just we're not to that level just yet. But we did learn from, rallied the troops. The big loss was to Richmond. With all due respect to them, like I said earlier, our number one opponent all year has been us. And you talk about self-inflicted wounds, and just didn't get it going that night. Had numerous opportunities, with the exception of four plays by Richmond. We outplayed them in every category except for the final score and getting the loss. So, you're right. Emily City's improved. That was great to get a homecoming victory for our boys, and then last night. So we're coming together. We're gelling. And if we can just block out the outside noise and don't bring all that onto the field with us, I like our boys. I like our group. We're pretty resilient. And when we want to truly play for each other, I'll take them to battle with anybody.
Yeah, 27 points offensively. Defensively, a great adjustment in the second half. Give credit to the defense to not allow any scoring by Croswell.
Yeah, and really it was one little tweak scheme-wise, but it was just go play. Go stink and play like you're capable of playing. I don't think Croslex had a first down in the second half. In high school ball and actually any level, momentum gets going. It's tough to write it. And, we had a punt block. We had a double pass. we had another interception. And it kind of, you just see a building, and it was good to see our boys, once we did get the change of possession or what have you, just kind of keep the momentum going on our side. And like I said, it's nothing special. They just went out there and played like they're capable of playing, with some more determination and together, and got the job done.
And good job. 42 yards only passing, but your crux of your offense is rushing. 239 total yards with 54 rushes. That's 54 plays, so that's a lot of taking time off the clock also. 41 plus minutes of time of possession for you. That's got to be great to know that, hey, keep the ball away from the other team from scoring.
Yeah, that's kind of been my MO, since I've become a head coach a long time ago, is let's play fundamentally sound defense, and our offense is we can control the clock, and the two of them together are pretty strong. And you keep the other team's offense off the field, and good things are going to happen. And it might not be pretty all the years. It's not pretty sometimes, but you don't get style points, you get a victory, and that's what it's all about. And our boys believe in our run game and what we can do. And when we want to throw the ball, I have a pretty dang good quarterback and people around him. We can do the job there too. So last night called for controlling the clock and plus running the ball. If you can't stop the run, it's tough. It kind of can put the other defense, demoralize them a little bit. And, we just buckled down and did our thing.
Congratulations. You got your sixth win. You're in the playoffs, Coach. And Jeremy Furman, here's a bean in broadcasting. Drink some hot tea with some honey, a couple cough drops, and you'll be fine come week nine.
Eddie, I appreciate the wise words of wisdom. I really do.
A little shot thank of Jack you. Wouldn't hurt either.
Yeah. Hotty toddy, you know?
I didn't know if that was okay to say, but absolutely. I'll take you guys up on that.
All right, Coach. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Appreciate it.
Head Coach Jeremy Furman there from the North Branch Broncos. We thank him for his time, and you can tell a little tired, and I'm sure he was watching a lot of game film on that.
He tends to vocalize his thoughts and comments throughout the game, and yeah. He's not funny. I really enjoy Coach Furman. Got to know him when I was in the newspaper world, and I personally think he's a great guy and obviously a pretty good coach.
All right, thank you to Coach Furman. 4 interviews in. That was a bonus we were trying to get, and we thank him.
Speaking of bonuses.
Yeah.
Nick, where are you listening?
Okay. We're going to close out to look at Week 9. A couple stat reports also from Richmond's win over Emily City. Oh, by the way, for Croswell, Phil Nicol, Vincent Scarmozzino, only 9 carries, 21 yards. Isaac Lerma, 6 for 56 with a 64-yard TD run. Yes, that is correct. Loss of yards. Defensively, North Branch regrouping. Vincent Gropi, 2 carries for 10 yards.
Nice touch of the roll of the tongue on that.
Jake Knoll had a 94-yard kickoff return for a touchdown for Croswell. So special teams, 10 positive yards in the second half for Croswell. Defensively, North Branch shutting that down.
Using your Polish skills on that last name of Gropi.
I'm trying. All right, we'll be back for the close and look ahead to Week 9. A couple of stat recaps over here from Richmond that I found. And we'll close off the show here on Sportsline, WMIC AM 660.
From your Truck Month headquarters, Graf, Chevrolet, Buick, and Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Hey, Brandon. It's that time of year again.
What time of year?
You remember. What month is it?
Oh, Truck Month.
Yep, and the savings are the best they've been all year.
Save up to $16,000 on demos in stock.
Truck Month.
Lease a crew cab Silverado Trail Boss for only $225 a month.
Truck Month. Wait a second. $225 a month?
That's right, Sam. A custom crew Trail Boss for only $225 a month.
Truck Month.
How about $14,000 off on a 19 Silverado LD double cab.
Truck Month. What about the loaded up Suburban demo?
How does $10,000 off MSRP plus 0% financing for 72 months sound, Sam?
Truck Month.
Not looking for a truck but still need an all-wheel drive vehicle? You can lease a Buick Encore for only $199 a month.
We currently have a great selection of new trucks on the lot, so don't delay. Stop in at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Truck Month. All prices include GMEPP plus lease loyalty.
A march towards the sun in Week 9 means the sunset of the regular season approaches us here in Week 9. 92.5 WBGV, Stanley Broadcasting, will have Bad X and Sandusky.
That should be a good one. A lot on the line for both teams, and we're hoping it's a dandy.
And I do have, I thought I had something from Richmond. I do. Thank you to Emily City for sending this info in. I got to mention it.
You better.
Treznak, right? Coach Treznak,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look at this game. It was 7-6. Richmond only leading by 1, but 21 points is what Coach said that doomed them the second quarter. 21 points by Richmond, making it 28-6. But then Emily City limited the Richmond only 7 points, 14 points by Emily City. And they have 42 carries for 293 yards. Yes, the Emily City Spartans. 57 yards passing, 3 of 6. They limited Richmond, well, limited, if you can say, 222 yards. They were 10 of 17 passing, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns passing also. 17 first downs for Richmond. But, hey, a good display for Emily City.
Yeah, Emily City slash Dryden, I call them. And those guys have had a really nice bounce back here in the BWAC, where we talked about how tough that is. But kudos to those kids and the Dryden kids stepping in to help fill that squad out.
So thank you. And by the way, for Emily City, Riley Bertram, 3 of 6 passing, 57 yards, had an interception, 8 carries, 37 yards, and a touchdown also. So, and Dakota Sandick, Sandzik, 3 carries for 212 yards. Home. Austin DeRocher, 14 carries, 180 yards for Emily City. Okay, looking into the rest of Week 9.
Week 9, we talked about Bad Axe at Sandusky and other 11-man games. Got Croslex traveling down to Dexter, Marlette at Armada, Brown City at USA, Lutheran North goes into the Bulldogs, who are struggling, Caro at North Branch, Emily City at KPAC in a rivalry game there. Also, another rivalry game, Harbor Beach, we talked about, at Laker, Ubley at Cass City, Richmond at Ortonville, Brandon, Clio at Elmont, Reese at Lutheran Seminary. Vassar takes on Otisville, Lakeville, maybe. Lakeville's been forfeiting a lot of games. Stanton, Montcalm at Millington. And the game of the week out of the area, New Lothrop at Frankenmuth, could be a dandy.
All right, tape player football also. We got some dandies.
Deckerville at Peck, NCTL implications for both sides there. Also North Huron at Burton Atherton, Mayville at Kingston, Bay City All Saints at Akron Fairgrove, Caseville is at CPS, Owen Gage at New Haven Merritt, Sacred Heart is at Genesee, Flint International is at Madison Academy.
All right. And that's what we got. And Thumb Chugger, we'll have possibly Brown City at USA and Mayville Kingston or Deckerville at Peck. Probably going to be Kingston Mayville game, maybe a good one to cover. All the other games, Sandusky Bad Axe, critical game for Sandusky or Bad Axe. And some other area coverage games, doing a good job. I know Ubley and Cass City is going to be covered by our friendly rivals there, Harbor Beach and Lakers. So all the important games in the Thumb area being covered by our area media. For Dave Frederick, I'm Eddie Fury. Week 9 coming up. We got three straight days of sports line. We're going to have a special MHSAA selection show on Sunday next week.
From the bench warmers.
All right, thank you for tuning in to Sportsline, to our coaches also on WMIC AM 660. And thank you again to Phil Nickel for sending me that information. Shout out to his family. Prayers out to his family. I'll just leave it at that. Phil Nickel, we're praying for you. Thank you for tuning in. Up next on WMIC AM 660, Sandusky, ABC News.
From ABC News.